Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for the opportunity of coming together to sing and to worship you, to get around the table and to, just say thank you for coming and dying on the cross and letting us be into that relationship with you, Holy Father, God Almighty, Creator of the universe. Oh, thank you that our sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Thank you that we are set free and the work of your Holy Spirit in and through our lives is such an amazing thing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Have you ever been frustrated? Yeah, anyone been frustrated? Anyone been stressed? Anyone been thwarted at wanting to do something and not being able to do it? Yeah? I reckon there's a lot of people in our nation that are living in that at the moment. People in Townsville, still getting back on their feet after those floods. Good suburbs, bad suburbs, everyone flooded. The fires keep going again in Tasmania, up and down, up and down, up and down. People's houses being burnt, properties coming underneath that trauma of a fire in your backyard, a big fire. So you can imagine the frustration and everything in people's lives. This week has been, on a minor scale compared to those, very frustrating for me in being sick and not being able to do anything and not meeting my goals. If you want to frustrate me, don't let me achieve my goals. And I just get bent out of shape about it all. One of the good things this week is not being able to do anything else, just lie on my back and chat to God. That's been a good thing. It's been a real positive. But how many of you know that communicating with God is simple and yet complicated? Simple and yet complicated. There's a little word in between simple and complicated, and I believe it's the word faith. Faith changes it from simple to complicated or complicated back to simple. Who we are also affects the way that we pray. Prayer is a two-way conversation. It's a communication between us and God. It's not just you and I sitting down with a piece of paper and writing out our shopping list prayers. It's about giving God opportunity to speak back to us. The Australian Prayer Network says prayer is praying God's will. They've been trying to get it out across Australia for years and years, of knowing what God wants to do and then connecting into that and praying through that, praying God's will. Jesus said it in the Lord's Prayer. My will be done. God's will be done. His kingdom. That's what we're about. Not my kingdom, not my will, but God's will be done. I wonder if that would change our prayers a little bit, our communication with God in and through those things. You know what makes it more complex in our prayers is us as people can pray in one way and pray in another way in different places. Isn't that true? Sometimes when we're in church, we feel, we can pray like this. Other times when you're in church, there's some people that are around you that can pray really good prayers and you feel this big, and who would be God to listen to me when, they can pray so much better than I can. So why would I get up and pray? My mum was like that. I can never remember my mum praying out aloud in a prayer meeting. She was always quiet in prayer meetings. But I caught her one day when I came home from school early. Wasn't very often my school sent me home early. This was one of those days where the school said, "Donnie, you can go home early. We don't want you here today." And I surprised my mum. You see, when I grew up, we didn't have a black and white TV until I was in grade 7. And then the black and white TV was to watch the news. That was it, the news. A show came on a little bit after that called A Current Affair, which was just like the news part two. And as a young boy, it was like, boring. When's the good stuff? But my mum had something in the house that she used to use a lot when we were all at school. Now, some of you may understand what I'm talking about here. Some of you may not. It is called a record player. And this is an LP. Yeah. Black bit of vinyl. And this is a one by a guy called Kenny Marks. Anyone remember Kenny Marks? Yeah, Paul remembers Kenny Marks. Oh, come on, more of you remember Kenny Marks. No? Oh, Nathan does. Hey, Cindy said you would, Nathan. Yeah. Steve remembered Kenny Marks. He went into one of his songs straight away. I just brought that along as an example. My mum didn't have Kenny Marks, or else I might have listened to it. My mum had Perry Como. Burl Ives. And if she was in a funky mood, Elvis Presley. And then in the 70s, she went to the Big Smoke down in Sydney, and she was led astray by her younger brother, my Uncle John. And she went to a Neil Diamond concert. Yeah, who said yes? She came home with a LP called It's a Beautiful Noise, coming up off the street. And she played that so loud. Anyway, back to me getting sent home from school early. I think I must have been sick. I think that's why they were sending me home early. And I came home, and Mum wasn't playing Neil Diamond. She wasn't playing Perry Como. She was playing a Burl Ives Sings Hymns album. And she was singing these hymns at the top of her voice. Now, I don't remember my mum singing very loud in church, but she was going for it at home. And then in the middle of the gap, she would stop and she would go into almost this free worship. Now, we were Presbyterians in those days, so she wouldn't have known what that meant. But she would just go in and she'd just be praying and just having a good time with God. And then I walked in the front door and she got all embarrassed and turned the record player off and went back to her cooking. But I wonder if sometimes you and I are a bit like that, that in one place we're like this, and in another way we let it go a bit more in our prayer times. I want to share with you a couple of things today. And this sort of came a bit about by doing a Bible study, a devotional online with Rich and Mark. And it was all on prayer for 21 days. And I think it was 21 days, might have been 14. And one of the ones that it talked about was communication prayer. Communication prayer. Now, for me as a young Christian, communication prayer was the only sort of prayer that I ever thought was the reality of what prayer was. Communication prayer is talking to God, and so therefore if you're talking to God, then God talks back. See, in my early days as a young Christian, God did things in my life where he spoke to me. Spoke to me very loudly and very clearly. Very loudly and very clearly. I got saved on a Saturday night, 30th of July, 1978. Don't say I wasn't born then. 1978. The very next day, waiting to get picked up to take into youth group and night church on a Sunday afternoon. That's the way we did it back in those days. Friday night was for Boys Brigade. Sunday night was youth group and night church. For some reason, as I was standing at the front of my house waiting to be picked up, I thought or felt I should look in the letterbox. Now, why would you look in the letterbox on a Sunday? Postman doesn't come on Sundays. But I had this strong feeling, look in the letterbox. So I looked in the letterbox. And in the letterbox was this brown paper bag. So I opened the brown paper bag. And in the brown paper bag was a Good News Bible, paperback. And on the front of it, this was the 70s, remember? And on the front of it, it had one of the most iconic slogans from the 70s, and it had a hand, a finger, pointing up, and it said, one way. One way. One way to follow Jesus. One way to heaven. One way. And that was a sticker on front of this Good News Bible. And I opened it up, and inside it, it had two Donnie, spelt D-O-N-Y. Now, have you ever wondered why I spell my name Donnie, D-O-N-Y? No? It's not really important. It is, because for me, I grew up in a housing commission area and we couldn't afford two N's. So it was D-O-N-Y. And it was written D-O-N-Y. Now, people have spelt my name D-O-N-N-Y, D-O-N-N-I-E, 100 different ways. But this was written exactly the way I spelt it, D-O-N-Y. And it said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will make your path straight. And guess what? It was signed Jesus. But not just Jesus, but Jesus inside a fish, another iconic 70s symbol for Christianity. And I grabbed that Bible and thought for a moment, wow. Jesus has given me a Bible. I didn't know who gave it to me, and I don't care who gave it to me. But that was from God. And so that Good News Bible became incredibly special to me all through my younger days as a Christian. I had people tell me that the Good News Bible was not the correct Bible and it wasn't full of good things. But you know what? God spoke to me from that Good News Bible as a young man of 14 years old, right through till I was 21. 7 years I kept that Bible. And God spoke loudly and clearly. I'll share another bit how he spoke to me from that word. But God was loud and clear. My early reading of the Bible in those days is what I want to share with you today, is that God speaks to his people. God speaks loudly and clearly to his people. If you have your Bibles there, I need a couple of you to give me a hand so I can have a break from speaking. If you have your Bible there, can you look up John chapter 10, verse 27 to 28? And if you don't mind, if you would like to, could you stand where you are, just one person, and share it in a big voice? John chapter 10, 27 to 28. I think if you have a name called John, that would be a good one for you. Thank you, John.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand.
Thank you, John. All right, second verse. That one's very simple, isn't it? My sheep know my voice. My sheep hear me. God wants to speak. So it says very loudly and very clearly, God wants to speak to us. And if he wants to speak to us, then he wants us to hear his voice. Doesn't that make you glad? God wants to talk to you. He wants to speak into your very being. He wants to talk to you. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Someone like to look that up? And when you find it, stand up in your place and read it out with a nice strong voice.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will come in and sup with him and he will be.
Very good. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. That is a whole sense of communion, you know? How many of you guys have found out that when you take your wives out for a meal, they really enjoy that because they get to sit with you and be still and have a good meal, but a good talk as well? I think the meal is just one part that gets me to the time, because I like to eat. But Cynthia always likes to stay and stay and stay and just chat in the ambience of a meal together. I'm getting a couple of guys nodding, and that makes sense. And Jesus wants to come in and stay and stay and stay with us and commune with us at a deep level. Revelation 3:20. Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5. Psalm 25, verses 4 to 5. Someone like to find that and read that one out for us? Psalm 25, 4 to 5. Make me to know in your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God and my salvation. For you are with me all the day long. That's our God. He's with us all the day long. This one up here, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is God's word that lamp and that light for us daily to walk with him? Let's have a quick look, and we will do a quick look because we would be here until midnight tonight to go through everything in the Bible where God communicates with people and they communicate back to him. And I'm just going to start with Noah. Now, folks, I know in the modern age when we talk about Noah, there's been a movie brought out by Hollywood called Noah. And it is about a guy called Noah. He has three sons, Shem, Ham and Japheth. But the movie has Japheth as the youngest. And we know from the Bible that the youngest was actually Ham. Ham was the youngest, the father of Canaan. And so the movie's getting it wrong. And I should have seen straight away that this was not a movie about the Bible, because it went on this weird tangent. If you haven't seen the movie Noah, don't waste your time. It has nothing to do with this Noah. Noah was 500 years old. He had three sons, Shem, Ham and Japheth. That's true. And he's minding his own business. He's the righteous man in all the world. Everyone else is doing it wrong. Their heart is desperately wicked. They don't want to do anything God's way. And so God speaks to Noah. He's having his good day. He's heading in the right direction. He's following God. He's obviously having a good time with God in that sense. And God says to him, Noah, you're the only one that's good. You and your family. I'm going to save you guys and wreck the rest of the world. I'm going to send a great flood, so I want you to build an ark. Could you imagine having that prayer time with God? Building an ark. Two of every type of animal. Sharing with all those people over the next 100 years while you build the ark and all the animals come. What an area of communication backwards and forwards that Noah must have had with God. Certainly wasn't a list. Okay. Okay, God, in my prayer time today, I need gopher wood. So can you provide that? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we need two koalas. They haven't turned up yet. You know, could you imagine that prayer list? It wasn't that way. It was this communication prayer list. I've just started in my prayer Bible reading the book of Leviticus, and it's a little bit different. The book of Moses in Exodus was a lot good because Moses and God just talked all the time. I'll challenge you this week to read the book of Exodus and find a chapter where it doesn't say, and God said to Moses, 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 again and again and again. They must have had the best relationship. And guess what? Moses argued with God. They must have had a great relationship. Connecting with one another, sharing each other's hearts. God sharing with, I think my battery's going. God sharing with Moses what he's going to do. And then Moses saying, no, God, don't do that, because this is the way it's going to be. So Moses, amazing story. And then you can go, keep going right through. Daniel in the lion's den. God spoke to him. Visions, dreams, end time prophecies. Wow. Then you go right through all the prophets. Then you go into the New Testament. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. What did he do? When he needed to make big decisions, he went and spent time up on a hill to speak to his Father, chatting away. I can imagine the night before he chose the 12 disciples chatting to the Father. Okay, Father, I've got all these disciples. Which one? Oh, I see this one. How do you think about that? And God the Father talking to him. Yep, he's a good one. Yep, you need to have Judas. Really, Father? He's a little bit dodgy. No, you need to have Judas. He's part of the plan. He's part of the plan. And so Jesus and the Father connecting. And if Jesus needed to connect and talk to God like that, then guess what? So do we. Peter, Paul, all the way through the Bible, talking to God and God talking to them, talking to God, God talking to them. All very important, all very real. New Testament, Old Testament. How did God speak to them? Dreams, visions, angels, still small voice, through our conscience, gut feelings, God's word, through praise and worship. How many times in the book of Acts, it was during a time of praise and worship, we felt led by the Spirit to set aside. And that's what they did. They felt led by the Spirit to set aside. God speaks and it's real. I've seen it real in Kiwana life. I've seen people hear God's voice, worship leaders pray as they come together and choose songs. And I am constantly blown away by how gracious God is in pulling together the right songs and the right team as we come together on a Sunday. God speaks to his people and he wants to speak to us loudly and clearly. God speaks to me and I'm so thankful for it. I had a side excursion in my early days at age of 21. I moved to Tasmania. Now, Tasmania is a great place to have a holiday, but it's very cold in comparison to Queensland. And the people are a little bit different. They're nice, but they're different. You think it's bad on the sunny coast, you know, because you know someone who knows someone. Well, often in Tassie, they're related. They don't just know each other. Oh, yeah, that's my second cousin on my third father's side or whatever. And it's interesting. I was having a good time in Tassie. It was cold. I put a jumper on the 2nd of January. And I think it was about July the 4th or 5th or something was the first day that I didn't wear a jumper. Yes, it is winter in July in Tasmania. But I'd had enough of wearing jumpers. I hadn't worn a jumper that many times in a row in my whole life, let alone in 1 year. And so I decided that that day was a no-jumper day for this silly Queenslander. I was cold that day. In one of my times of doubting God, I sat in the house I was staying in. It had a sunroom. And I sat in this sunroom quite often. And I would sit and let the sun warm me. And I had my Bible there, this Good News Bible. And I'd say, God, speak to me today. And there's times when God would just lay a verse in my heart and I'd open it up. This was one of those times. And the passage that came to mind was Isaiah 41, verse 9. And just before verse 9, on a line, it just seemed to jump out at me. It said, my friend. Now, when you're feeling a little bit down and you sense God drop something into your spirit and the first words you read are, my friend, you go, ah, thank you, Jesus. I like that. I am your friend. I'd always considered Jesus my friend, and so to know that I was his friend was pretty cool. And then it goes on from there. It says this. I took you from the ends of the earth. Wow, Australia is often called the ends of the earth, isn't it? Especially if you live in the northern hemisphere, all the way down to Australia. I took you from the ends of the earth. And I took you from the ends of the earth, and from its farthest corners I called you. Now in Hobart, there's not a lot less south of you there. There's Huonvale, Huon Village, and that's about it. And there's bush. And then there's the big wild south. And he says this, I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you. I have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, the next 6 months, was no problem living in Tasmania, because I had heard from God. God had spoken into my life very loudly and very clearly in this way of chatting with God. Now, for some of you, you might hear God very clearly in your spirit or in your conscience. Does anyone have a conscience these days, or is that sort of old-fashioned? You know, it sort of disappeared with Disneyland when it was a good TV show. No? Anyone got a conscience? Oh, cool. Okay, good. I was getting a lot of blank looks. What's he on about? A conscience? No. No. Love is love. I don't need a conscience. No. No. No, we need a conscience. The conscience is there, but sometimes for me, God speaks to me similar to the conscience, but different. Some people will call it the still, small voice. Speaks very loudly and clearly. Others say, I get this unction. You know, you go back some of the old guys, Wesley and that, they go, the unction of God was on me and I felt compelled to say this. And they can't help themselves. They have to step forward to do this. I don't know how you hear God best, but I want to encourage you to find time to delve into hearing God best and better. For me, this book would be a better use if I used it properly. It's a journal. And at the moment, my journal gets used more as a dear diary. Today I did this. Today I did this. If I stopped and reflected a bit more and said, okay, God, what is it you're wanting to do? I might get to hear and write down some things that might actually be worthwhile looking at the end of the week, as I reflect on what God has been doing and what God has been saying. Let me just give you a couple of examples as I bring this together, because I want to encourage you to listen to God and to talk with God and to communicate via ways that make it work for you. I know many will have a quiet time. Some of the latest results coming out of the National Church Life Survey are a little bit soft, I would think. Some of you would have lived in an era where church was morning and night. Not just there was a morning and night service, church was morning and night. You went to church in the morning and you went again at night time because that's what you did on a Sunday. I know that was my teenage years growing up. We went to church in the morning and then we went to church at night with all the young people. I went with my mum in the morning and at night time it was really cool. But these days we go to church on a Sunday morning. The latest National Church Life Survey has said a regular attendee at church is once a month. Are you serious? Once a month? Let me paint this picture for you. Cynthia's not here today, so I'm going to go home and tell her I didn't use her in my sermon, which will encourage her to get better. But could you imagine if I only talked to Cynthia once a month? If I only hung out with her once a month? Do you think that would be a good relationship? Do you think that would be good for my marriage? And we've got the opportunity of being a family, and meeting once a month is good enough? I don't think so. The other thing that came out was reading God's word once a week was good enough. The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How many of you know if you've not got that lamp on every day, you can walk in darkness for six and end up in a really bad spot? We need to be got into God's word. We need to be letting God speak to us loudly and clearly. How do we hear God's voice? Can I encourage you with a couple of things? Set aside some time. Put it in your diary. Say, this every day I'm going to do this. I'm going to grab my Bible. I'm going to grab my phone. It can have an alarm on it. It can have your devotional. You can hit it. You can say, yep, that's what I'm going to do. This is another one that I've put together that I use regularly, probably not as much as I should. And it's a whole list of prayers and different Bible readings and prayer points that help me to stay focused when I get to a prayer time. I don't know about you, but sometimes in prayer times, my mind seems to go absolutely everywhere. So books can sometimes help you to stay on track if you write it out or if you're reading something off a piece of paper. This is a good help for me too, because A, it's got your pictures there, so I get to look at you when I pray for you. And that helps. And I also get to remember your names. And so when I see you at church, I can come up and say, hey, how you doing? And I remember your name, because I've prayed through this sheet so many times. And it helps me get to know you, because I'm praying for you. And that's why when we ask you to encourage you to fill that out, it helps in more ways than just a directory. Grab that time. Grab a scripture and ask the Lord to speak to you. Say, God, speak to me today. How can you speak to me? What would you like to say to me from your word? They say there's 30,000 promises in this book. I haven't read them all, but I know there's a lot. There's God's word for your life. He wants to speak to you loudly and clearly. Use a journal. Help you focused. Write things down. Confirm it with God's word. Confirm it with your prayer partners. Confirm it with people in your home groups. It's why we encourage home groups. It's important. As you're reading and you're writing down a passage, maybe grab two different coloured pens. One that you want to write down and one you might want to write as an impression that's on your heart. It may be God speaking to you. And during the week, other passages might come up and help you confirm loudly and clearly that God is speaking to you about things. When you've got something and you think it's a clear word or just an impression, then continue to pray it through. Don't just grab it at the first lot and say, okay, that is God's word for me. That's it. I've just heard an inkling, but I'm going to run with it. We can get into trouble. I'm sure you've heard of a story where a guy said, okay, God, speak to me from your word. And he opens it up just randomly and puts his finger and it says, and Judas went and hung himself. Ooh, scary word, Lord. Okay, I need something to back that up. Go and do likewise. Whoa. Okay, maybe that's not God, you know? Would God want you to go and commit suicide? No, because we know that from his word. So if you get something and you're feeling something, always test it with God's word. Make sure it comes through loud and clear. Talk to your brothers and sisters. We're meant to be a family, so that we can know what God wants us to do. We can hear together. Queensland Baptists at the moment are praying together on changing our whole structure as a church, our whole denominational structure. At this moment in time, we have a general superintendent. By July, that position will no longer exist, and we'll probably have two people running the denomination. But people are praying. And we need to work as a denomination to hear what God is saying. We need as individuals to hear what God is saying. We need to hear as a church what God is saying. It's why we're putting on the good oil lunches. It's why we're encouraging us to pray. It's why we're spending this month talking about prayer and encouraging us to pray, encouraging us to hear God's word and hear his voice loudly and clearly. This week has been a challenging and frustrating week. But even in amongst that, I've seen people hearing God's voice. I've seen people get up and do things to help and to be God's hands and feet. And I want to encourage us all to continue to do that. I want to encourage us all to continue finding some time to spend time with God, to hear his voice, and to have a chat, literally a chat. Let's pray. Father God, communication is a big thing. If I don't communicate with my kids well, if I don't communicate with my wife well, then my family can be in turmoil. And unfortunately, Father, many years I have made many mistakes in the area of communication with my family. And Father, I have another family here that are my brothers and sisters in you. In Christ, and I need to communicate with them. I need to share with them. I need to help them, and I need to support them. I need to hold them up in prayer, as just as they hold me up in prayer. But Father, I pray that as you are our Father, that we will chat with you and you will chat with us. You will speak to us loudly and clearly. I pray, Lord, this week we would set aside some time. We would set aside some time just to spend it with you. Not to go through a list of things, but just to stop and say, okay, God, your will, your kingdom, your plan, what is it that I can do to be a part of that? What is it that you would want to say to me today? Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen.